You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. Today, we are focusing on the parable of the talents found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. This parable will challenge us as to whether or not we even know Jesus Christ, and if we do, then how we are using what God has entrusted to us. This information is important. May God bless us as we hear it, take it to heart, and put it into practice in our daily Christian lives. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus is God in the flesh. God has told us that in His Word. We believe the Bible to be God's Word. We believe it to be true, no matter what the rest of the world might say. God wants us to know that Jesus lived for us, He died for us, and He did so to take away our sins. So God wants us to never trust in anything we have done, anything we will do in the future. He wants us to trust in Jesus Christ alone. In fact, God has given us that gift of faith. May God keep us in that one true faith, and may God help us to know that in Christ we are God's holy children. We might not feel that way sometimes because, in fact, as we go through our daily lives, we are falling into sin. So in reality, we are sinners, but God wants us to know that when He sees us through our relationship with Jesus, God sees us to be saints. He sees us to be His forgiven children. So being now in Christ, God wants us to realize that He has entrusted us with various blessings. We are called to use those blessings even now. And then when He comes again, the Bible says in Romans 14, it says that each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Which of these two statements will describe you on that day when Christ comes? Are you going to say, from my faith came responsible management of God's blessings that He entrusted to me? Or are you going to have to admit my irresponsible management points to the deadness of my faith? Let's go on to the parable now. We come first of all to the gifts being distributed. We find ourselves in Matthew chapter 25, picking up in verse 14. Keep in mind now in Matthew 25, in verses 1 through 13, we had the parable of the 10 virgins. I'm going to touch on that a little bit at the end of today's sermon, but now we pick up right after that parable with another parable. Jesus said, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." So as the parable begins to unfold, keep in mind that Jesus, He is a slave master. The slaves are, well, let me put it this way, the slaves are believers, or they are people who put themselves forth to be believers. So we're talking about the visible church. So within the visible church, some know Christ as Savior, and unfortunately some do not know Christ as Savior. So those would be the slaves. And then with the journey, what is the journey? That's when Jesus ascended into heaven. He's gone on a journey, and He has promised to come back again. What about a talent? I never really thought much about a talent before, but a talent is a measure of money, and a talent is very, very valuable. A silver talent is worth 7,300 denarii. So what is a single denarius? A denarius is equivalent to 1 day's wage. So think about how much a person makes in a day. Multiply that by 7,300, and now you have a single silver talent. So a silver talent is worth a whole lot of money. If you do the math, and I was real conservative here, I said with a daily wage of $100, a lot of people are making $200, $300, $400, $500 a day, but at $100, one silver talent is worth $730,000. So we see one man received that much, another one two silver talents, $1,460,000. Then the other one received five talents, and that would be $3,650,000. So we're talking about a very significant amount that the master has entrusted to the slaves. Now, we might say, oh, Pastor, that doesn't apply to us. God didn't give me that much, so I don't have really much responsibility in my life. Well, God wants us to know that He has given us an awful lot, and every day He's giving us all kinds of things. He's given us abilities. He's given us strength. He's given us good health. He's given us the jobs that we have. He's given us our ways that we interact with other people. He's given us countless things. So I think we need to think about all of that in comparison to the talent. Maybe saying that the one, the two, or the five is representing this vast multitude of countless things that God has showered upon us as human beings. So God wants us to know that we have been entrusted with many possessions, but let's know this so, not to own them, not to own them. We came into the world with nothing. We will leave the world with nothing. So they are not ours to own them, but rather they are ours to manage them, to be good stewards of what He has entrusted to us during the time that we live here on earth. Therefore, what should we do? Having received what He has given, we are to look to the giver of the gifts, and we look to His word to discover the instructions for responsible living. If we look at the world, that's going to be irresponsible living, so we have to look to God's word in order to know what to do with what He has given. Let's go on to the slave's response. We pick up in verse 16. Immediately, the one who had received the five talents went and traded with them and gained five more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the two talents gained two more. But he who received the one talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So, the first two slaves took action. How quickly? They took action immediately. Boy, that reminds me, for example, when God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, and go to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. What do we see? That immediately, early that next morning, he got up and he went. No hesitation, no delay. He followed the will of the Lord. God wants us to be that way too. If we don't know it's the will of the Lord or not, let's look into it more carefully. Just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, triple checking with the Father. Father, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you want me to go to the cross? So if we're not sure, let's make sure. But when we know for sure, let's not hesitate in doing the will of God. So the first two, they took action immediately and with God's blessing. Not because of their ability, but with God's blessing, God enabled them to double their money. But what about the third slave? He made absolutely no effort to put his talent to work. We'll find out more in a moment. Now in part three, we see the master returns. Going to verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Note that the master was gone a long time. What pops into your mind? Hopefully the idea that Jesus has been gone a long time. Ascended into heaven a long time ago. That's been nearly 2,000 years ago. That's a long time. That's a long time for us. Also, I think a long time here means that we should view our lives on earth as Christians kind of like a long trip, in a sense. So think about our lives as a long trip, and as we're on that trip, what's important? We need to keep remembering our destination, and what is our destination? Heaven. If we forget where we're headed, we're going to get sidetracked, and we're never going to make the destination. Also, too, thinking about the long trip idea, it's important to avoid distractions, things that entangle us and pull us off course. What would that be? That would be sin.
So day by day, we have the opportunity to say no to sin, which is going to pull us away from Christ, and to say yes to the Word of God. Also, the idea of being on a long trip with our Christian lives, following the will of the Lord, no matter what, each step of the way. Going on to the response of the first slave, we pick up with verse 20. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. When we think about the 5, the 2, and the 1, Jesus stated in Luke 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. So here he is, given 5, and with the blessing of God, he's able to gain 5 more. So he was faithful in using what God had given. Think about it this way too, though. Coming to this first slave, first of all, God blessed him by giving him the promise of eternal life. And then, second, he entrusted him with the 5 talents. So it's not like, let's see how you do with the 5, and then maybe you'll get eternal life, or maybe you won't. That's not the idea. God gives the gift first, and then the joy of receiving the gift, it's like, wow, I'm so happy I'm going to heaven that now I want to try to use what God has given me in such a way that would honor him. So that becomes the motivation then for using the gifts in that way. So you can understand a little bit now that if people don't have that kind of motivation, that means that something is lacking inside with their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Also, too, you might have caught there where the master said, enter into my joy. So really he was saying, enter into eternal life. So what is Jesus' joy, though? What makes him happy? We know what makes us happy. What makes him happy? It makes him happy when we believe in him, and from believing in him, we live for him, and the final outcome is that we are finally with him forever and ever. Now, when I say that, be careful, though. Don't say, oh, if I believe in him and if I live for him, then I get to be with him. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, by believing in him, we get to live with him. We don't need to live for him. That's not a requirement. But let's understand, though, that definitely will be the result for those who do believe in him. So we don't force this part. This part comes natural when we do believe in him as Savior. So we're not adding the two together, but the two things are realities of our Christian lives. Like St. Paul wrote in Romans 3:28, he wrote, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So we are just in God's sight by our relationship with Jesus, but then, because we are just in his sight, now we desire to keep the law. Now we desire to use what he has given to us in a way that would honor him. Going to the second slave, we pick up in verse 22. The one also who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So we see that the second slave, very similar to the first, but what was different, though? There was a different amount entrusted to him, only 2. So with God's blessing, he was able to gain 2 more. So everyone has been entrusted with something, but not all with the same things. So for some, they've been given more is expected. For others, they've been given less, so less is expected. But everyone has been given something when we know Christ, and something is expected of everyone. Like we think about on Veterans Day, all gave some gave all. Similar kind of a situation there. Also, too, keep in mind that it is from our faith that comes our deeds. With that in mind, let's jump to Revelation chapter 20 for a moment. We come to that final judgment scene in the Bible in Revelation 20, and the Bible says, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Sometimes that seems to contradict what we say, because we're saying by faith alone in Jesus, we have eternal life. And now the Bible is talking about us being judged according to our deeds. That seems to be a conflict, but in fact, it's not really a conflict at all. Faith and deeds simply should not be added together, but when faith is present, deeds will also be present. It's going to happen. What did James write? He wrote that faith without works is dead. Again, we're not adding the faith plus the works, but when the faith is there, the works will follow. God wants us to see that reality. I stated it this way in the sermon. I said, by faith alone, we know Jesus. In other words, we know him as our Savior. We have eternal life. By faith alone, we know Jesus, but by deeds alone, we show our relationship with Jesus. So we don't talk about our relationship with Jesus by what we say. Now, we do confess. That's true. We do confess him as our Savior, but really, anyone can confess him as their Savior, but we really show the reality that we know him by what we do, not by what we say. Again, though, never think about having to have deeds. When we know Christ as Savior, the deeds will definitely come. Maybe to throw in one other passage here I noted in the sermon, it says in Romans 14:23, it says, whatever is not from faith is sin. So even if people are doing good, what the world would say to be good, but they do not have faith, the world might say, hey, that's a good thing, keep doing it. But in the sight of God, it is not good because it is not coming from faith, because there is no faith. For example, someone can do super heroic things in his life, but that doesn't save him. That's a wonderful thing. I thank God for people who do very heroic things, but that doesn't save that person, though. But when that person knows Christ, and from that relationship with Christ, he's doing heroic things, that is a wonderful thing. That is honoring to God. That is a blessing to people. And not that we're getting into the topic, but those are ways in which people will be rewarded in eternity for the ways in which we function as Christians. It doesn't help us get into heaven, but I think it will make a difference for us in eternity as we think about how we live for Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the third slave. Picking up in verse 24, the Bible says, and the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So a very different outcome for the third slave. So it seems like he plays what I would call the blame game. The slave was at fault, yet he was blinded to his sin. So what did he do? He blamed the master for his shortcomings. God wants us to take responsibility for our sins. So what about us? Are we using what God has given us in a God-honoring way, or are our lives filled with lame excuses as to why we're not, and also casting blame upon God? It's His fault that we're not doing what we should be doing as His forgiven children. And then this idea of money back with interest, as the slave master said, if you think about one talent, a large amount of money, and if you think about 1% interest, which is a little bit common today, but for most of my life that was very uncommon. So one talent, 1% interest, and even think about a period of 10 years, the interest would be about $75,000. That's a lot of money. But God wants us to know, though, that to do nothing with what He has given us, that is not good at all. So He called the person wicked and lazy. Jesus uses those words because the slave did nothing with what had been entrusted to him. Now, the slave may have said he had faith, but his lack of action confirmed his lack of faith. So let's think about what we have going on in Matthew chapter 25 for a moment. So at the beginning of the chapter, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. So we have 5 ultimately come into heaven, 5 are closed out. And then we come to the parable of the talents. We have the 3 men, 2 come in, 1 is closed out. Right after the parable of the talents, we come to the account of the sheep and the goats, where all people are gathered before Jesus. We have the sheep on his right, we have the goats on his left, and we see that we see the sheep are welcomed in, the goats are kept out. I think in all these parables, possibly we could say that with each one of them, we are talking about the visible church. So we have the 10, we have the 3, and we have many. So we have these different groupings, and within the visible church, there are some people who really know Christ as Savior, and there are some people who simply do not. Now, there are probably some people that are on a church membership list, and they really know that they don't know Christ as Savior. They would, in fact, admit that. But I believe there are many others that are kind of caught in between, where they have either deceived themselves or they have been deceived by the people around them to the point where they think that they really are the children of God when, in fact, they are really not. Life is very confusing. How can we sort this all out? How can we help people? The way God wants to bless us is He wants to do so through His Word. He wants us to know for certain that we do know Him, that we are in Christ, that He's going to say to us one day, "Well done, good and faithful slave." If we're not quite sure, God is saying, "Dig into my word, and I will confirm to you that you are my holy child." Or if you're not currently God's holy child, God will work through that word to make you His holy child. So it's a win-win when we spend time in the Word of God. I encourage all of you to do that every day and know that God will bless you now and forever. Regarding the idea of being cast out, Lenski, the Bible commentator, wrote, "Here we learn that none who are useless to the Lord can remain in His kingdom." Thought about a couple passages in James with that statement. James wrote in chapter 1, verse 22, about those who are merely hearers of the word. In other words, hearers but not doers. The Bible says that such people delude or deceive themselves. So when we hear what God says, but we do not respond to it at all, that is showing something very sad about us. James also wrote, if a person knows what is right but does not do it, he is sinning. Very similar kind of a topic. Well, just before today's gospel reading, we did have the parable of the 10 virgins. And right at the end of that parable, Jesus told them, he told everyone, keep watch. Keep watch. What does that mean to keep watch? Well, we keep watch, I believe, by always being sorry for our sins. We keep watch by always trusting in Jesus alone as our Savior, and we always keep watch by using the things that God has entrusted to us according to His holy word. So as we conclude today, I want to encourage you to think like this. No matter what your past has been, whether you have been believing in Jesus or not, whether you have been using what has been entrusted to you or not, the past is gone. The past doesn't matter. What matters is right now and into the future. So no matter what the past has been, right now, I want to encourage all of us to live day by day in such a way that we are constantly keeping watch, thus sorry for our sins, trusting alone in Christ as our Savior, and using what God has given us according to His holy word. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. This program is listener-supported. Therefore, if the Lord leads you to give, go to benefitfromthebible.com, then click on the donate button. If you are searching for a Bible-teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. To ask a question, write us at questions@benefitfromthebible.com. For past programs, go to benefitfromthebible.com. If you live far away, seek out a church in your area that rightly handles God's word of truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.